سلطاننا أيدكم الفقر ويأمركم الفحشاء والله يعيدكم مغفرة له وفضلا. Shaitan has got a certain characteristic. The essence of his character is that he wants to distract you. That's the essence. If you are coming towards good, in the first level is to discourage you from good. It's namaz time. And you know it's namaz time. The whole idea would be to distract you from namaz. To get you engaged in something, just hang around with the boss a bit, talk around a bit, you won't get this chance again. The frown of the conversation is then will leave. And rounding up the conversation, rounding up the discussion, 1 hour, 2 hours it will pull, and then before you know it, either the namaz is made qaza, or the namaz is read number 2 times without jamaat. So it works in very, very strange ways, but the idea is to move you, to distract you. Shaitan ya'idukum al-faqr wa ya'murukum bil-fahsha. Some of the things that he will incite you, he will encourage you towards. If you want to do anything good towards anybody, then you say, don't do this. Because if you want to be good to someone, then you will starve, you will suffer poverty. You got 500 rand, you're going to give 100 rand away. So you only be left with 400 rand. So your money doesn't grow on trees. So I can't just become charitable and just throw money at a plant. So Shaitan will frighten you. You're going to spend, and with your spending, you will be stuck with poverty, you won't spend. So this is the first thing that he will discourage you from. Anything good, turn you on to the good. Sometimes he will discourage you from good work, but in some strange ways. Other way he can discourage you from good, one man was crying very profusely, hysterical, crying madly. So someone saw him and they thought of sympathizing with him. He went towards the sympathy. And then he asked him, what are you crying over? He said, let me see my dog dying now. I'm crying over the loss of my dog. That was my companion. Life companion that he died. Then he looked at the man a little bit curious. He said, but what's over your head? Well, I got bread and I got foodstuffs and all that. By the way, your dog, what was the cause of its death? How did it die? So you have a big, big load of bread, food articles, meat, whatever. So he asked the man, what are the cause of the death of your dog? He says, no, that he died because of starvation. Alright, then why didn't you throw some bread or some meat that you had? Why didn't you throw it to the dog to save it from death? So he says, no, see, it's cheaper to cry. To cry, you don't have to pay anything. No. Taking out money, 500 rand, or 500 rand, taking 100 rand, giving, difficult, but to cry, sympathize, that is quite easy. Let us do the easier one. So this is the work of Shaitan. He diverts you. He threatens you, he frightens you, that you're going to spin, and you're going to suffer poverty. You go through difficulty. So rather you don't spin, keep the money, keep it up, hide it up, one day, you don't know what can happen. With a rainy day, you can have something for the rainy day. Perhaps this offer that they took out, rainy day, they better start it off from the builders. Why? Because the builders, they can't earn on a rainy day. Can they work on a rainy day? So they can't work. So they must store the money so that the rainy day they can cover themselves up. So these are the works of Shaitan. Shaitan ya'idukum al-faqr wa ya'murukum bil-fahsha. And then you see the second thing that the Shaitan will encourage you towards is shameless, indecent words. See, Shaitan's whole plan is a short-term plan. It's not a long-term plan. He thinks a short plan, short-term. So he will encourage you towards something indecent. Something that is indecent, something that is vulgar, something that is immoral, immodest, immoral. This is the thing that he will take you towards. Now if you look at any modest act, then it is a short-term plan. For the short term, you feel satisfied and you feel, I'm over with it. Right? Some immodest thing that you did, some indecent work, you looked at a girl, indecent, you touched her, indecent, right? You engaged her in some conversation, indecent work, right? Or you fantasized over the girl, because something was indecent. So his plan is short term. Now, for a short term, he feels satisfied. But then that urge comes up again. So you suppress that urge, you suppress the feeling. And it came again. Now, you look at something and you got your satisfaction. And that urge, you had stressed down the urge, and it came up again, it surfaced again. Now look at it again. Or do that haram again, and you will gain your satisfaction again. So this will, it will carry on, it will continue. وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ. Now, you compare this against nikah and against marriage. Marriage is not a short-term plan, it's a long-term plan. When into nikah, it's a long-term plan. There was one brother that accepted Islam. He wasn't getting married. I called him, asked him, what's your age? He said, about 30. I said, I'm not married, no. But then I thought, now, how must I encourage him? When I'm telling a person, how must I ask him to get married? I told him, Muhammad, you know what? What do you think? If you get married, you'll be wealthier, you'll be well off. Or if you don't marry. One is to marry and one is not to marry. Then I asked him, what do you think? You'll be better off and you'll be more wealthy if you do marry or you don't marry. So it took him some time to think. It was about 2 minutes before he thought about it. And I didn't want to push him. I pushed him, and he would have given an answer and he would have thought about it. But so now you think about it carefully, real time. About 2-3 minutes of night to get him. You know, I think I'll be more well off if I do marry. But I want to know what's the reason. You know, you make a preference in life, you base the preference on some reason. You don't just prefer something without any reason. There's two loaves of bread here. You prefer one against the other. There must have been some reason why you preferred one against the other, right? Perhaps the one of more rich, perhaps the one of more quality, perhaps the one was of a branded name as compared to the other. It was a reason for preference. That's more like, you know, you say that, you know, getting married would be a better option to make you more wealthy. Why do you say that it will make you wealthier? So he says, you know, you are men, right? If you are men, you have the urge. When you have that urge, I'm not married, I'm not committed into any car, any marriage. And I do have that urge, and I have to flirt with some girl. Then, in this week, will be one girl for a month or 2 months, I'll be running around with one girl. And then, another 2 months, I'll be sleeping around with another girl. I will carry on like this. And then he's explaining to me, I'm going to carry on like this, that, you know, to win over a girl to you, you respect me. You want her to be with you. Right? There is a spell on her. Why she saw a good suit, a good dress must buy that for her, good shoes must buy that for her. Then you can't just feed her with rice or stumpings and cheese, can't do that. Then you take her to KFC or something, right? KFC. You nicely sit down there. And then you feed her well. Right? So all this is very costly. Then you have to take her for a ride there and there. All these things all add up, all accumulate. Then look at the advantage. There's no advantage, no gain. It has got temporary satisfaction. She didn't do anything for this. Everything was done by yourself. She didn't do anything. All she did was just she cooperated with you in satisfying. In the satisfaction, she cooperated. But did she do anything else? Nothing else. So all the time I'm spending, it's winter now, she's the jacket, so I got her jacket. She wasn't feeling too well someday, so I take her to a doctor, to a physician, I had to pay for it. The thing more serious than to take her to hospital, all that I had to put the bill. For everything I had to spend, and I didn't see anything forthcoming. From one side, nothing was coming from that side. I'm comparing this to marriage. In marriage, like they married one woman. One is now a more respectable state, is a status of respect. And married men. So if you go anywhere, then if you are a married man, then they respect you more, as compared to not married. But anyway, a man that is married is respectable. If you've got a son or two children, more respectable. But if you go and you say that I'm not married, and are you respected? You're not shown that respect. Especially if you're of age, 25, 30, and you haven't yet married, then they don't show the respect. But if you are in a marriage, then they show the respect. One is the respect. Then, number two, the second advantage is my mind is not wandering around. But I know I've got one wife, one home, my mind is not wanting her. If I've got an urge, I can fulfill the urge with ease. No problem I've got. Yeah, now if you keep looking for something, so my mind is always wandering around. All the time I'm looking for greener pastures. I saw one, that one is looking even better. So this one I threw away, and I threw the second one. And then when I move the second one, I have to hide away from the first one. Because what the first one will say? Your mind's now, you have hopped on to someone else. Then again, I have to start the whole thing again. To buy a jacket, buy a clothing, KFC. KFC is a little bit outdated, then take it to another restaurant. Right? They have to keep servicing this all the time. But here, I just got one woman. She's taking care of me. Right? And it's a two-way traffic. It's not a one-way traffic. Because if I'm providing her with food and all that, then she's taking care of me. My clothing is taken care of. Right? My food she's taking care of. Then in due time, I've got children. She's taking care of my children. Number four, she's taking care of my home. Here, I must do everything, and she will do nothing. And here, both of us are cooperating. Right? If I'm bringing the money, and she is preparing the food. I am bringing the money, and she is looking after my clothing. I am bringing the money, then she is taking care of the home, nice and clean, spick and span. I am bringing the money, then she is taking care of my children. So in my absence and my presence,
She's taking care of kid. Then, because she's my wife and we married for life, then I don't have to keep spoiling her, taking a KFC and here, buying this clothing and that clothing. She knows it and I understand. She knows that we're living in a budget and we must live within that budget. And I also know that we're living within a budget and we must live within that. So we'll save, we'll take care, and we'll look after each other. My mind is not wandering. I've got one goal, one agenda. I come home with a fulfilled mind. Otherwise, I'm coming home and just look at the four walls. Nothing for me. I'm not married, then there's nothing for me. What's there for me when I'm coming home? I'm just looking at the four walls. So you see the shaitanic plan. Shaitanic plan is short term. Don't get married. And just enjoy yourself, pass your time, temporary enjoyment. Just take that. Don't go for that permanent, lasting enjoyment. Because that you'll get tied up. You've got children, you've got a wife, everything to take care of. But now, you don't realize that there's another end to life. Today you are well, right? Tomorrow you are ill. When you're ill, you've got your wife on your side. She's taking care of you. Right? She's comforting you. And she's taking care of you. But if you're all alone, is there anybody to comfort you? You are ill and you need to run an errand. So you can't run that errand. Your child is grown up. So he's running the errand. You don't have to run it on yourself. He's doing things for you. See? So there's another end of life. So Shaitan makes you look from a tunnel vision. And he looks for short-term enjoyment, short-term satisfaction. He doesn't look for a broad-term satisfaction. Then again, when you are old, and your children are on your side, they will give you every comfort. It's a payback time. We understand that this is what the father has done for this home. So we need to pay back all the good that he has done. It's a natural bond. Allah Ta'ala creates that bond between the spouses. Now, I showed you a second example. Shaitan ya'idukum al-faqra wa ya'murukum bil-fahja. Shaitan's work. Third shaitanic work. Ash-shaytanu inna ash-shaytana yanzaghu bainahum. Allah Pak says, Qul li'ibadi yaqulu allati hiya ahsan. When they talk, they must talk good words. Why? Because shaitan stirs up problems between you. He incites problems. Right? You were discussing, you spoke to someone, right? So he became a little bit aggressive. He used an improper word, incorrect word. Hey, you're a donkey. Just one word. What he said? You're a donkey. One word. So you got worked up. When he used that one word, you got worked up. Hey, what this person thinks of me. So either you moved away, you cut away from him, or either you also got irritated. So that if you're a donkey, if I'm a donkey, then you are a swine. You're calling me a swine. Then in the shaitan yanzaghu bainahum. He's told you one thing, you told him another thing, and then you're caught up in a fight. See the shaitanic work. Shaitan looks for short-term benefit, not long-term. He had a past grudge, so for that past grudge he had to settle the score. How he settled the score, he said, no, you're a donkey. So Allah Pak says, by, see, you're going to talk like this, then shaitan, you're giving him the chance to incite you, to create problems within you. You don't allow this thing here. You speak good words. All right, you got a difference with him. All right, I'll come back. Let me think about it. Your suggestion is to be accepted. But let me think about it. So he'll feel good about it. See, in what Allah Pak is saying, يَقُولُ الَّتِي speak good words. So instead of saying you're a donkey, you're a madman, say, well, I've accepted your suggestion, but I need to just think about it carefully, and then I'll come back to you. Now, how good that person doesn't feel, this person took my suggestion to heart, and he's thinking about it, so he seems to be positive. So he thinks good about you. Then whatever you decide afterwards, you decide. But you didn't take a rapid decision. You didn't take an on-the-spot decision. So you thought about it from different angles. You discussed it with someone. Then you came. Now, your words are well judged, are very well measured, and you are using words that are good. People feel good about it. Right. You got a guest, right? A friend coming to your house. So you can tell him, you know, what an honor to have you as a guest. You know, you come to our house, you're bringing Eid to our house. You know, as though it's an Eid day. So much of happiness you've brought. So one is to entertain the guest in that manner, to show that hospitality, pleasure, what an honor. It's what a joy for you to come to our house, to take a step into the house. And the other way is, when you call that guest, say, I don't know, this pain in the neck when he came again. Huh? It's a pain in the neck, he had to come here. But you only know how to eat, come eat now. So first case also you call him to eat, and the second case also you call him to eat. Right? But what you said, yeah, you only know how to eat. Wherever there's food, you are there. Yeah, no mind, come and eat. Now, will you feel like eating? You don't feel like eating. What does this man think about me? See that words. So, in your mind, you felt, no, I have done the right thing. I put him in his place. I have just suppressed my anger. My anger, my emotions, I just pushed it down. So you think you have done a good thing. But you incited problems between you and that person. Sometimes it's between you and your wife. You don't know how to talk. You don't know how to speak. Speaking or speaking the right words. You're hurting the person. So Allah Pak says, when you speak, speak the right word. Speak good words. And this Allah Pak repeats about 3-4 times in the Quran. Idfa billati hiya ahsan. Someone is bad, is rude, is impolite. Should you also be impolite, rude, and aggressive? No. Allah Pak says, no, you don't be rude. If he's been rude, he's been impolite, he's been aggressive, then there is no such a thing like tit for tat in Islam. Yes. He's been aggressive, he's been rude, he's been keeping you at a distance, then you be good to him. You be polite to him. You greet him, meet him, invite him. You be good to him. But you don't reply to his rudeness with rudeness, his impoliteness with impoliteness. He did what he needed to do. But now, should you stoop so low and behave like him? So Allah says, no. Idfa billati ahsan. What you must do is something that is better. You reply and return this with something better. It was some invitation, so he normally doesn't call you. But when you had an invite, you called him. You know, you must come in. It'll be an honor. I'll send a car for you. Better come in. You'll really bring some joy to us. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Now Allah Pak says, what will be the cash benefit? The cash benefit in doing so will be, that person will think, hey, you know, I was rude, I was impolite, I was aggressive, I kept him at a distance, but he is so warm, he's so hospitable, he's so nice, he's so polite. Look at, just compare my ways to his ways. He'll feel ashamed, he'll feel embarrassed. No, now I need to change my ways. Now he becomes a friend, a good friend. I've been rude towards him and he's been polite. I've been aggressive towards him and he's been kind towards me. I've been very miserly towards him and he's been generous towards me. Look at the person. So he will give him a chance to look at you from a different perspective, from a different angle. And overall, this is the home of Islam. See, the home of Islam is how we live. Everyone is for the other. It's not a home of Christianity. Christianity is you live your own life and we live our own life. That's Christianity. It's a non-Muslim, everybody does their own thing. And they say it also, they say it very proudly, that everyone for himself and God for all. So they say there's a kuffar saying, everyone for himself and God for all. We say, you know, God is for all and God wants us to be for all. He is for all and he wants us to be for all. So how can we show kindness? That's the home of Islam. It's a home of love. It's a home of affection. We're showing love and affection to the dear and the near ones, right? It's your parents, now they've come of old age, so you're respecting them. It's a small little child, you're respecting and you're showing love. It's a relative who's been orphaned, so you're taking care of him, right? Whichever way, you can't give all, but doing some work. So that's the home of Islam. Home of Islam is the home of love. Home of Islam is the home of generosity. Home of Islam is the home of respect. Home of Islam is the home of kindness. Coming in, you feel so good. You feel acceptable. You feel comfortable. You feel respected and appreciated. That's called the home of Islam. If one person has got a problem, there's 10 people attending to you. But the home of Christianity and kufar, if you're sick, you must die alone. Don't you hear now? Many a time the person was sick, he died alone, his body's in the mortuary, and it's frozen, nobody to identify him, and then somehow they go and dump his body. Don't you hear about these things here? You hear about this all the time. That's not the home of Islam. Home of Islam, we all for each other. And Nabi Sassam will also say the same thing. Also says the same thing, that you can't be sleeping full stomach whilst your neighbor is hungry. Neighbor can be anybody, Muslim, non-Muslim, old, young, whoever it can be, but you show kindness. But please, don't show kindness to a girl now, right? And Tommy now, you go on Tommy this side, so, you know, all the love, all the kindness I'll show her. Don't do that. Obvious, the reason is obvious, because one thing will lead to the other. One thing will lead to the other. Right? If it has to be done, if she's in constraints, then let your wife do that. You don't do it, let the woman do it. She has to be shown sympathy and love, but you don't get in between. Let your wife, woman to woman, man to man. See, that's the home of Islam, home of respect, showing you direction, showing you ways. Inna shaytana yanzaghu bayn. I'm showing you the ways of shaytan, the way of Rahman and the way of shaytan. How shaitan behaves and how the Rahman, people of the Rahman, how do they behave, right? Good words. Good words, one is I showed you how you speak good words. And then good words also mean is you look at the occasion. And in the occasion, what is required of you? How are you supposed to be speaking? Musa alayhi salam was asked, what's in your hand, right? Ma tilka biyaminika, what's in your hand? So he gave a detailed answer. هي عصاي أتوكّل عليها وأهش بها على غنمي ولي فيها مآرب أخرى. My stick, I lean on it. وأهش بها على غنمي, I throw leaves and fodder for my animals. A lot of other uses. He would have just said, my stick. It's a stick. Now, sometimes the occasion requires you to give a detailed answer. Not a one-word answer, right? For example, you went for an invitation, right? And you came home, so your mother asks you, or your wife asks you, you ate, yeah. So she asks you now, and what you ate? So you can say, Ma, we had food. Will you be speaking a lie? You won't say that. Say, no, we went there, we had rice, we had curry, cold drink, and they gave us some mitai, they gave us some chocolate, and some dessert. And, you know, just like how you prepared, they made it very well, you know. So which answer is better? The first answer or the second answer? The first answer was also an answer. We ate food. And the second answer was a detailed answer. I ask you, good manners and good behavior, what does it require? To give a one-word answer or to give a detailed answer? What does it require? On that occasion, you were required to give a detailed answer, a detailed response. That is more accepted. I said, no, I spoke the truth. You know, the Quran says, you must speak the truth. I spoke the truth. I said, we ate, finish. And you know, they say, you mustn't engage in futile talks. So why must I tell you we had ice cream and we had cold drinks, rice and curry and chocolates and desserts? Why must I say it's all futile? Because tomorrow is going to get to the toilet, right? Now, that is an indication of misunderstanding, weakness of understanding. At that time, you're supposed to be giving a detailed answer. The person is going to appreciate it. Oh, see, my husband, how well he speaks. Or my son, how nicely he speaks, how he conducts himself. For example, if you were to ask your child what you ate, oh, you ate food, will the child appreciate that? Will you appreciate that? You won't appreciate that. You won't like that. See? So the Quran is saying, Inna shaytana yanzaghu bainahum. He looks for ways to incite. So I showed you two ways of inciting. The third way of inciting problems, right? This person, right? I got a grudge for him, right? I don't like him for something. When I got a grudge for him, I don't like him. So I go and carry tales about him to this person. Yeah, this person, yeah, I know he's not right. He does this and he does this and he does this. So I carry tales about him. Right. Oh, you know what? Yeah, he doesn't like you as well. But one day he said, this is a silly person. So I'm carrying tales about him to you. Now you think, hey, but you know, I've been so good to him. And why does he say these type of words? Why does he use this type of words? How can he do this? So what you have done, you have broken. So discord. You broke the heart. So breaking up is so easy. Just one word and you can break a whole life of friendship. Whole life, whole zamana of friendship you had, and one word used, two words used that was incorrect, and you broke that entire friendship. So that is why in this type of sittings, what is needed to be done is, you sit carefully, don't talk, sit. Don't deliberately allow your mind to wander around. You don't deliberately allow your mind to wander around. Think carefully, understand, digest, and then apply yourself correctly. You sit peacefully, right, without a disturbed mind, without a wandering mind, peacefully, listen carefully, and after that, then you digest it, all right, this is what was said to me. You're digesting it. It's not just for entertainment. I've got Rosa now, so we have to pass the time. So let's go and pass the time like this. So you would have passed the time, but you didn't take the type of benefit that you needed to take. Because your niyat was just that I need to pass the time. So you say, all right, the time was passed, but did you get anything? You didn't gain anything. So you sit, relax, and you think nicely, so that whatever was given to you, you had the chance to digest it. So if you digested it correctly, when the occasion comes about, then you know how to apply yourself. And someone pushed you, all right, or he told you some words. So one is, all right, he pushed me, I'll push him, man. I'll show him. He mustn't think that he can push everybody around. He's done this to me, I will do the same. Right? He used one vulgar word, so I will use another word. What he thinks. Right? Now, that occasion will come. That occasion will not tell you, no, tomorrow there's going to be a trial. He's going to be pushing you, and we're going to see your character. It's not going to be told to you in advance that we're going to be examining you. It'll come just impromptu. It'll come unexpected. When you least expected that, it'll come around that time. For you to be checked and for you to be seen, that how do you conduct yourself at that time? So there's no pre-warning. But there's going to be a situation that's going to come about. But overall, general, Allah Pak is giving a general statement. قُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. There's one great imam of tafsir and hadith, Ibn Atta, right? Great imam, right? Ibn Atta or Atta? Ibn Yasar. It's a great imam in tafsir and hadith. All types of people will come and sit by him. There are those that are straight, those that are deviant in their thinking, like how you have Shias, and how you have Qadianis, all the deviant groups, you see. So those that are straight thinking, they also come and sit by him. And those that are deviant, they also come and sit around him, right? Now, when he is conducting a session, so he speaks very, very comfortably, very respectfully, and very well. He's conducting himself very well. One student, Talha ibn Umar, rahmatullah alayh, he tells him, see, I see you control yourself and you conduct yourself very respectfully, very well, well-mannered. Right? If I had such an audience, I would have shouted them, are you Shia? Are you Qadiani? You will burn in Jahannam. You will roast and toast there. I would have spoken to them like that. But I see you speak very calm, very composed. Now, you must understand that this Atta ibn Yasar is a big tabi'i, who saw Sahaba, and is an imam in tafsir and hadith of that age. So if anybody is learning hadith and tafsir, they have to refer to him. Even if Imam Bukhari has to learn hadith, they have to refer to him. Such a great personality. So he says, no. See, what you're doing is not right. See, the Bani Israel, they did all type of stupid things. What stupid thing didn't they do? Allah Pak told them that you want all these different type of greens, veg and greens and cucumbers and all that you want. So we'll give it to you, but you must come into this town with humility and ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. So what they did, they sat on their backs and they started pushing themselves like that. And instead of saying hitta, they began to say hinta. Instead of asking for forgiveness, they say wheat, not wheat. So scant disregard for the command of Allah Ta'ala. When they've seen the miracle performed before their eyes. They've seen miracle being performed before their eyes. But instead of their yaqeen growing and their reasoning improving, what happens to them? Is they say, اِجْعَلْ لَنَا إِلَهًا كَمَا لَهُمْ آلِهَا. Musa alayhi salam, we also want some idols. They got idols, we want some idols. Right? They heard the word of Allah Ta'ala, right? They heard the word of Allah Ta'ala straight. Imagine that, that inspiration is coming direct to you. So they say to Allah Ta'ala, لَن نُؤْمِنَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً. You only believe until we see Allah Ta'ala. We must see Allah Ta'ala, then only will we believe. If we don't see Allah Ta'ala, we're not prepared to believe. And in this world, it's not going to happen. You're not going to see Allah Ta'ala here. That is in the hereafter. In this world, nobody is going to see Allah Ta'ala. So they said, I'm going to see Allah Ta'ala then only. Right. Then, when they asked for the commandments, Allah gave them the commandments. They asked for it. And when the commandments came, then they said, we've been commanded only to do that which is easy, what we like. What we don't like is maaf. So وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَكُمُ الطُّورَ بِمِيثَاقِهِمْ. Because they had taken a promise to Allah Ta'ala that they're going to listen. After they have taken a promise, then you must respect the promise. You made a promise, then you must hold to the promise. Now you made a promise that you're going to hold to the commands. Then the command is given to you, then you turn back. So we suspended the entire mountain over the heads. خُذُوا مَا أَتَيْنَكُمْ مَنْ يُبَدِّلْ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاتُ. So they changed the word of Allah Ta'ala around. It was all the stupidity, all the wrong that they were doing. That Allah asked them not to fish. Now, they were a nation that liked fishing. They liked fishing, but Allah told them not to fish. So what they did, they made a plan. They felt now that Saturday is the prohibited day. We can't do fishing, and we can't do fishing on a Saturday. So what they did, so the sea and the shore is like coming like on a tilt, see? Sea here, and this is the land. It's coming in one straight line. So the water has to recede, has to go back. It'll go very gradually. Because it's a very slight incline. Now, that is now what they did. The land, you know, that land that is on the bank of the sea, they dug big, big ponds there. Big ponds, but the water is coming in. As the water comes in, it comes in with the fish. So now the fish are already trapped into those ponds. Right? Now the water will go back and the fish will remain behind. So what they did was they dug these ponds and all that on a Friday. Friday there was no prohibition. Saturday all the fish got trapped. And then they will pick out the fish on a Sunday. See? Okay. So they thought that they will beat Allah Ta'ala. They will beat the plan of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak says something, and how are we going to beat the plan of Allah Ta'ala? So they did everything, every stupid thing that you could think of. But when Allah Pak is commanding Anbiya to speak to them, then Kulu قول اللينا ألا تعبدوا إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا. And then إذا أخذنا ميثاق بني إسرائيل لا تعبدون إلا الله بالوالدين إحسان وذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وقولوا للناس حسنا. That even if you want to speak to this Bani Israel also, then too you're going to talk good words. You know, they did some miserable things, some very horrible things they did. Very, very horrible things they did. Musa is asking them, slaughter one cow. Now, if a great person is telling you, a very great person is telling you, do this work. So you respect him, isn't it? They ask him what color, what kind, why. You see their response against the command of Allah Ta'ala. But Allah Pak is speaking, when you're speaking to them also, to the Bani Israel too, then too you speak with respect. It's not right that to fulfill one command, you break another command. I'm telling you, right, read namaz. Otherwise, you know, I will finish you up, watch out. Eh? You're mad. Eh? You're just coming to eat, the madrasa. You don't read namaz. So I can tell you that also, right? But I say, please come and perform your namaz on time. It's a different way. So to ask you to perform namaz is one command. But to speak to you in that rude way, am I not breaking Allah's command? In fulfilling one command, I am breaking the other command. Is that right? To encourage you to do the good is one command, and to speak politely is another command. Right? So in order to make you do one work, I can't be impolite. I can't be breaking another command. Then both of us will be equal in the wrong, because I'm speaking good, but I'm not performing namaz. You're performing namaz, but you're not speaking well. So in both of us, there is a mistake. So we are like squared. I'm squared with you. So you saw the third way how shaitan deviates. I showed you the first, the second, and now the third. That you speak, no matter what the circumstance, you speak in a good way, refined, respectable, polite ways. This is Islam. Right? This is the house of Islam. And the house of Islam is a house of affection. It's a house of love. It's a house of kindness, a house of righteousness, virtue. Everybody's there. It's this. Everybody's something else. But provided لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ الشَّهِيدٌ. You're listening attentively with the presence of the mind. لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ with the presence of the mind. Right? Not with a scattered mind running around everywhere. Not with a mind that I have to make this roza now. So the time has to pass now. Let's pass. Got a little bit of a session here, so let's go through that, or time will pass and we'll do the roza as well. Not with that frame of mind. So you listen carefully, then you'll digest it. When you'll digest it, then you can apply yourself. When you're applying yourself now, it's life of happiness, joy. At home is joy, happiness. Within yourself, you're feeling happiness, happy. Within people, you're feeling tranquil, feeling at ease. You got no scores to settle. So this is now what I say, the house of Islam. Allah give us all tawfiq.